Hello, it's Brian Bailey, publisher of I Love the Burg. It is Friday, April 6th. We are recording this podcast from the Arts Exchange in the Warehouse Arts District. I am welcomed by two very special guests, Diane Bailey Morton, who is the recently appointed executive director of the Warehouse Arts District. Did I say that right?
Yeah. That's
okay,
correct.
Good. And artist Nancy Cohen, who is many iterations over her life, most recently artist and poker player, but we'll get to that a little bit later. We're in the Warehouse Arts District, as I mentioned, in the Arts Exchange. I assume there's a lot of people wonder, okay, there's the Warehouse Arts District, there is the Arts Exchange, the Warehouse District. What exactly is the Warehouse Arts District in general? You're executive director of the Warehouse Arts District. What does that encompass in total?
So the actual boundaries are 1st Avenue North and 10th Avenue South and 16th Street to 31st Street. So like the districts in St. Petersburg, you have the Innovation District, the Grand Central District. This is another district called the Warehouse Arts District. It's comprised of over 200 businesses, arts organizations, industrial type corporations as well. But within the Warehouse Arts District is a nonprofit called the Arts Exchange, and it's 50,000 square feet in the center, and it contains the Arts Exchange, which has now with phase one, 28 rent-controlled studios and a gallery. And so there is a little bit of confusion. Warehouse Arts District is a large area, but within that district is the Arts Exchange.
All right, yeah, and the Warehouse Arts District is not all arts. As you said, there's a lot of companies that still do business out here. There's actually a semiconductor company out here somewhere, I believe. It's been here for years.
Oh, and a bakery and architects. We have my two favorite things, coffee and beer. So we have breweries and we have coffee grinders, right. And we have all kinds
right.
of...
Three Daughters right down the street.
Three Daughters is right here. We have all different types of Calgary restaurant just opened up here, the Clay Cafe with the Morian Clay across the street.
Right.
So lots of mix of industrial and arts-centric type businesses.
So on the arts side of things, we have here in the Arts Exchange, which as you mentioned is rent-controlled. What is the mission of this project? You know, as all I know is phase one, which we're in there right now, phase two we'll talk about, but what is the mission?
Okay, so the mission of the Arts Exchange is to preserve space for artists. As you can see, the growth of St. Petersburg growing outside of the downtown area, downtown being extremely expensive now, growing out, is pricing artists out in terms of having a place to come and work. And so these are $1 a square foot rent-controlled studios that we're committed to keep at that level, so that the artists have a place to come and create art, but also our membership, which we have over 300 members, can also show their art. I call it show and grow. They can show, some of them don't want to sell their art, they just want to grow as artists, and that's an important part of our mission as well. So to have this gallery space to show member art, as well as our second floor classroom is going to start showing member art, and we're building a member lounge for our members as well. So membership's an important financial supporter for this to exist, as well as obviously the rent that the artists pay for their studios.
Okay. Do you have to be an artist to be a member?
No. Okay. We have a business membership, it's $150, but we also have just citizens love to support this. They come here for Second Saturday Art Walk, they want it to exist, and so they're, you know, they get member benefits for free education classes that are held almost monthly. So there are a lot of benefits to being a member, but we have a lot of non-artist members as well.
All right. And so when you as far as being an artist is interested in being here, exhibiting here, what is the process they would have to go through typically?
Well, we have 400 artists on our waiting list for the studios.
Wow.
So obviously that shows us there is a demand for studios. So after we finish phase two, which we'll talk about in a minute, phase three will be building additional studios. We have plenty of room to build, so we're going to build more studios. We've also had requests for larger studios for artists that do large work, like Mark Ayling, our board president, is huge sculptural type work.
We
have sculpture artists
obviously
that need more space, yeah. But also we just need more space for our artists. We also don't just have visual artists. I think it's important to say we also have a nonprofit here. Your Real Stories is here. We have a metalsmith. We have people that work in fabric art, mm-hmm. all different mediums of art. That's very important to us that we spread it around. We have fine artists like Nancy Cohen who mm-hmm. we're going to talk to.
Right.
But we try to keep that variety going as well.
So it really is, in the true sense of the form, not just fine art, stuff you put in the living room or hang on your walls, that sort of thing. This is actually functional stuff that's happening here as well. Like, I know Mark creates giant pieces that are sometimes gates, and they're right. functional pieces, that sort of thing.
Right.
That's right. So we're sitting in phase one. Phase two is around the corner. Of course, we know that the legislature has cut arts funding by 90%. So that means you have to be really, really creative in how you raise the funds, but also in how you build the space. So how is it that you diversify the space, therefore, that you have multiple uses and makes it profitable, I guess.
Right. Well, we just found out that the bill we had in the legislature obviously was not funded along with most other arts organizations across the state. We had a bill for $500,000, which was not funded. So with that heartbreak, we now are going to start a capital campaign April 26th. And for phase two and site beautification. When you pulled up today, you saw the chain link fence and the barbed wire and the potholes. So we need to improve the site for both aesthetic reasons as well as safety reasons. Potholes are not good for people to step in. And being a lawyer, of course, I see that and see a nightmare. So we're going to do site beautification, but we're also going to do phase two is going to be a professional dance floor, springboard floor, with ballet bars and mirrors and three classrooms. Mm-hmm. And that brings in yet another medium of art, dance and movement. It'll be multi-use. We hope to have senior yoga, we hope to have Pilates, whatever the community wants to have there, as well as the three classrooms are available for arts instruction. As I said, our members get to come to free education mm-hmm. classes. But also, just we have independent artists that rent out our upstairs classroom right now for arts education, any type of children's education, also hopefully partner with the community for any type of community outreach for which they need a classroom.
Mm-hmm. And my guess is, too, this space can be used for private events as well?
Absolutely, right. As well as this one. This one currently, that what we're sitting in the gallery, we're hosting a national book launch next week. We're hosting Equal Pay Day for the business and professional women. We've had corporate lunch meetings here, so they get to have their corporate meeting in a beautiful space, as you can see, with beautiful art.
So point being, giving a place for artists to develop, share, collaborate, flourish, but at the same time, with funding being where it is, you need to have space where the private sector can come in and use, rent, and so it's eventually, it has to be multi-purpose.
Yes, and with a business background, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to build revenue streams
right.
from both the private sector and the public sector. With grant writing, with phase two, we can tap into health grants, into education grants, into arts funding. With both the spaces being multi-use, we can rent them out for parties, we can rent it out for events, weddings, whatever. So we're doing our best to help ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, we are going to need community support.
Right, actually, okay. So you mentioned the book launch that you're doing, which I want to come back to because that's kind of a big deal. But I wanted to switch things to Nancy since we're talking about artists. Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about your background. You've got sort of you were a bit of a late bloomer as far as fine arts comes around.
And yes.
It was out of a necessity to decorate your home, as it were. But you started out as a respiratory therapist. Very briefly, the journey from respiratory therapist to fine artist that you're doing today.
Well, there was respiratory therapy. There was child care counselor. There was dental hygienist. There was secretary in a brokerage firm. Junior bond analyst. Head of marketing, writing computer manuals. Then I was head of marketing for a big bank, and then I became director of communications for a big New York City money center bank, and then I became the speechwriter for the vice chairman of the bank. And then, strangely, I became a painter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the most interesting part. Tell us how you actually became a painter.
Well, I wanted paintings. And I found out very soon that it was a very expensive thing to buy a lot of paintings. So I thought, well, let me just see if I can make anything. And I took a class in painting at the Y, and I just loved it. I fell in love with it. And it became my dream to go to the Art Students League of New York. where I heard that you could be there 5 days a week and you could paint all day long and you would have a wonderful teacher. And I did eventually do that. So I, from the moment I walked into the league, I felt like every other thing I had ever done was not really, didn't really suit me. The league just fit like a glove. And strangely, this environment right here is as close to the environment at the Art Students League that I've ever been, which was every walk of life, every age group, every background, with one interest, and that's creating beauty and beautiful art. And that gave everyone a common ground.
All right, so before we get into the details, so you actually became an artist when you were 50, is that right? So never too late, right, to find your passion, right?
Never too late.
So what is the words of encouragement you talk to anybody at any age out there, right, and be in their 20s or in their 50s or 60s looking to obtain their passion? You know, what's the best advice you could say to dive into it?
What I always tell, especially younger people, is don't be afraid. Don't do your life out of fear. Fear of not having enough money, fear of not being successful, whatever it is. Try to gear your life toward having a good time and doing whatever is interesting to you, whatever captures you. So it can be, it's, I never think that it's going to be one thing for the whole life. Those people are very unusual that start out as children and it carries through their adult life. But be prepared to change and to grow and not to feel afraid to make big changes all through your life.
And so do you consider, I mean, not knowing, but are you, do you consider yourself successful as an artist now?
I guess I would say I'm successful and that I'm deliriously happy. And I love what I'm doing. If I had to make a living at this, I wouldn't be living with, thank God I'm married to someone who actually earns a living. But I you know, I could, I think you do what makes you happy. Everything else falls into place from there. So I would say I'm happy and therefore I'm successful. I always want to learn. I take workshops every year. I never feel like I've really nailed being an artist. It's a work, it's always a work
You're
in progress.
You're a work of art in progress, right?
Yeah.
As it were. So I sit here in a place like this, and I, as someone who does collect artwork, and I see, you know, which is a great opportunity here, is for good artists to come together, where someone like me who buys art can, we may miss them completely, right? Because they may not be able to afford to have a gallery event. So, but as an artist working here, looking on the inside, looking from the inside out, what do you find is the real benefit of being in a space like the Arts Exchange? What has it done for you personally and professionally?
It's had an influence on my work. Every time you're, you know, it's a very isolating craft to be an artist. You're in a room by yourself, you're making things. Anytime you have the opportunity to be around other artists with new ideas and fresh perspective is a chance for you to tweak what you do, to change what you do, to open what you do. And I think everyone that's in this environment has had some of that, has been influenced by the others, and has felt supported by the others and encouraged in a way that gives them the confidence they need to keep going.
And as a, in this like co-working space, if you will, for artists and whatnot, who are some of the people around here that you really enjoy knowing and have having experience?
I know you're not going to believe, but I enjoy knowing every single one of the people in this building. I do, and I it's not like I'm an easy person. I'm quite difficult, but it's just, I don't know whether they picked based on thinking we would all mix well. I don't know, it's very, there's a lot of synergy. But I think everyone has personality to offer. Everyone has insight to offer. I really like everyone in this group.
Right. And the interesting thing is your neighbors with Patton Hunter.
Yes.
Who also was a late bloomer, right? She, I don't know if you know her story, but she had her husband became very ill and she started painting as a way to sort of cope with it. And then now has been called one of the most important artists in her age group, you know, in America right now. So it is really great to see that you can flourish at any age in this, and you know, just hone in on the craft, as you will, right? So more importantly, you're from New York?
Yes.
New York City?
Yes.
All right. How in the world did you end up in St. Petersburg then, as far as this? I mean, and we know there's a great art scene here, but What really brought you down?
Well, there are a number of things that brought me, but what I would say is New York City is now such a difficult environment to live in and to work in. It's very crowded. It's the wealth has ratcheted up until it's unobtainable for anybody except the super rich to live there. And St. Petersburg, as soon as I got here, I could feel how easy the living was here. It has everything. And I mean, a few of the things that made me stay here were food related. The fabulous Chinese food, incredible Vietnamese restaurants, great Italian restaurants. Also, theater, movies, art. But one thing that's so nice is that you can drive around the city in a car. You're not in traffic. You can park. There are places to park. It's easy to live here. And there's a lot of neighborhoods to choose from. All of them have their own charm and beauty. I don't know. I fell in love with St. Petersburg.
Right, right. Well, I too lived in New York City for about 10 years. So, you know, for me years ago, it was just when I moved here in 2006, so I kind of seen the transition. But you knew there was going to be that walkability that, you know, downtown would have, that it was just set up to really flourish. I like to refer to St. Pete as sort of Florida's mini Manhattan, actually, just kind of the way it is.
It's so much nicer.
It's so much nicer, and then a lot more affordable, too, right?
Yeah.
So, hobbies? Bit of a poker player right
here?
I like
to play poker.
Yeah.
And for those who are listening that like poker, it's a great poker place here. There's two good poker rooms, Derby Lane and the Hard Rock, and incredibly good poker,
mm-hmm.
Hard poker.
Tell us about the name of one of your recent shows. And is this a show that's happening now? This Is How I Got Fat?
This is a show that I've planned to have.
Okay.
I have to make paintings for it, but I've been working larger than I ever worked before, and I'm doing large paintings of, I've done a glazed donut, a cake, a group of candy, I'm planning a big giant Hershey Kiss, a Hostess cupcake, iconic foods,
mm-hmm.
and the show is going to be called This Is How I Got So Fat.
Got it. Okay. Inspired by your love for food.
Yes.
No doubt. All right. Are you going to be doing it here?
I'm going to be doing it in New York where
okay.
I was.
All right.
But I plan to come here with it also.
Okay. Great. All right. So, speaking of which, so, you know, we talk about, you know, two New Yorkers sitting here that, you know, have fallen in love with St. Pete's,
yeah.
For all the reasons that we talk about, which we don't need to recap, but it's not like it's just us, because I want to get back to this book launch. You've got Random House launching a major book tour here in St. Petersburg.
Yes.
That will they'll go to New York and Los Angeles after this. Tell us about how that came about.
Well, it's funny. I was interviewed by the DuPont Registry when I first got this position, and they said, what type of art would you like to see more of? And I said, author events and dance. Well, then I developed the Art Center to be a dance medium, and then Tombolo Books, who is the pop-up bookstore right now in St. Petersburg with Allstace, I forgot her last name. I think it's Valentine. Anyway, sorry about that.
Right, she's located in the Central Arcade in the Edge District right now, yeah.
And I went to her and said, you know, if you ever want to do an author event, I have the gallery. I would love to do that because I'd like to see more of that in St. Petersburg. We don't have enough of that. So she asked me if we would do the national book launch for a book by Rob Sanders, who is a Tampa author. And it's the story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag. It's a children's book. It's absolutely gorgeous. She gave me an advance copy of it. And so we're doing that April 12th from 6:30 to 9. We're going to have children's events with cookies and, you know, artist activity for the children. But it goes from us to New York and Los Angeles, and that's what another thing we can offer is a venue mm-hmm. for artists or author events.
Right.
So I'm very excited that we're going to be able to launch that as part of Pride here.
Right. So it's really important, I think, that we stress that this is really not just a place for artists, it is a place for events and collaborations, both in the artist community, but also the private sector. I mean, if you own a business, this is a great place to throw a holiday party.
Absolutely.
You're surrounded by, you know, you've got a stage here, you've got a good, I believe you've got some sound system working and
yes.
lighting and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You've got presentations, you know, that sort of thing. So it really is built you know, with, I mean, we've known that arts funding has been cut for years now. They always talk about it. It's always being cut back, you know, and it's one of the things, unfortunately, like education, that always seems to take a hit. But the artist community tends to be resilient, right? And you come up with solutions like this. So as an enthusiast, I would encourage people to come see this space, but talk about some of the other events that you've got coming up that people can attend or consider as something they could do on their own.
Well, next Tuesday night is going to be the Business and Professional Women's Annual Unhappy Hour, which celebrates Equal Pay Day. And April 10th of every year is the year that women catch up with wages from the year before with men. So it's a tongue-in-cheek fun event. It's done every year. The mayor usually speaks, and they hand out payday candy bars. And we're going to have a signature cocktail this year that I invented called the Lily Ledbetter. And so it's going to be a great event, but we anticipate 50 to 100 businesswomen coming to that. And as I said, we're going to have the book launch, and then Saturday night we'll have Second Saturday Art Walk, so everyone can now see our new show that's just been hung. This is Spring by our studio artist, and it's an absolutely gorgeous show. And we're also doing a world premiere dance event Second Saturday. I've personally commissioned Alex Jones and Collective Souls Dance Troupe to do a performance of Come Together, the Lennon McCartney song, but sung by Joe Cocker. That's my favorite version, because I feel in the zeitgeist of right now, we all need to come together. So I gave that to Alex and said, go do something with it. And so I'm very excited. It's going to be a world premiere, but they'll be dancing here for Second Saturday.
All right, cool. That's great. Well, that's wonderful. Are we missing anything that we should be talking about here? I think we've covered a lot in our short period of time.
When people come out here, they get a little frustrated because sometimes they can't find it. We need signage, we need beautification. So that will come with phase two. Right. So we're still in that industrial growth phase. Mm-hmm. We're gonna grow, but it's a year from now, it's gonna be amazing.
Right, well, if people do wanna, and you're open to the public, right? I mean, yeah. Someone can just come out and walk, you know, what are your hours here?
The gallery is open Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay.
But as time goes on, we'll obviously try to be open more often than that.
All right, cool. All right, well, this is great. Thank you very much. And for those people that do wanna find out where it is, it's basically across from the Morian Station for Clay.
Yes,
that's sort of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're about down. You're down the street. It's on the same road that we have a Rosie, our little guest here, our four-legged guest, is making some havoc.
It's the address is 515 22nd Street South.
Okay, great. Right up from Three Daughters.
Yes.
And what is the new restaurant that opened down the street?
Kalaloo.
All right. Terrific. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot before we go. As a respiratory therapist, you need to say cough it up in three languages. Do you remember any of them?
I don't remember any of them.
All right. Well, then on that note, thank you guys for having us, and we'll just say a Beatles saying until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.